Hey, everybody. Thanks for tuning in to our weekly podcast here at First United Methodist Church, Murfreesboro. I'm Cliff Wright, the senior pastor. I hope this week's message is meaningful and inspiring to you. If you'd like more information about how to get connected at FUMC, you can visit our website, fumcm.org, or you can check us out on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at FUMCBurra. I also hope you'll consider joining us at one of our four weekly worship services at 8:30 and 11 a.m. on Sundays in the Sanctuary and the Family Life Center. First United Methodist Church is a warm and welcoming community of people committed to the mission of growing disciples of Jesus Christ who know Him, love Him, and serve Him. I hope this week's message helps you in your own personal journey towards knowing, loving, and serving Christ in your life. Our scripture lesson for this morning on this Remember Your Baptism Sunday is a passage from the Gospel according to St. Matthew concerning Jesus' baptism from the third chapter, beginning with the 13th verse. Hear this, God's word for us today. Then Jesus came from Galilee to the Jordan to John to be baptized by him. John would have prevented him, saying, I need to be baptized by you, and do you come to me? But Jesus answered him, let it be so now, for thus it is fitting for us to fulfill all righteousness. We talked about this in our Foundations Wednesday Bible study, this particular passage. We're not going to talk about all of that again then this morning. But then this other part, then he consented, and when Jesus was baptized, he went up immediately from the water. And behold, the heavens were opened, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and alighting on him. And lo, a voice from heaven saying, this is my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased. The word of God for the people of God. Thank you. You may be seated. Would you bow with me as we go to God in prayer? And now, God, either through me or in spite of me, you speak to these your people, for it's in your name we pray. Amen. When we start talking about baptism, it's real important that we keep the train on the track, and it's real easy when you start talking about baptism to get off track. It's just real easy to get off track. For example, oftentimes, in discussions I've had about baptism, the conversation oftentimes will head very fast towards how we were baptized. Have you noticed that? You start talking about baptism, and the conversation heads real fast towards how we were baptized. Were we baptized by sprinkling, or were we baptized by immersion? And when that happens, oftentimes, someone from one of those two camps, either the immersion camp or the sprinkling camp, will speak up. And what I've discovered, it's usually from the immersion camp. Now, let me stop right here. Let me just stop right here just for a minute. And I want you to say that what I'm about to say is in no way belittling those of you who are baptized by immersion. The woman I sleep with was baptized by immersion. I have a great appreciation for immersion baptism. What a lot of people don't know is in the Methodist tradition, we will immerse you, we will sprinkle you, we'll pour over you. You can have it your way. That's what we do in the Methodist church. A lot of people don't know that. But what I've discovered, this has just been my experience, is oftentimes there'll be somebody from the immersion camp who will say something like, well, if you weren't baptized the way I was baptized, then you really weren't baptized. Has that ever happened to you? It's happened to a lot of us. That there's only one way to be baptized, and that's by immersion. And if you weren't baptized by immersion, you really weren't baptized. Now, the question I have is, does the amount of water that's used really strike at the root? Does the amount of water that's used strike at the root of what baptism is all about? There were two little boys I heard about several years ago. They were brothers. One of them was 8, the other one was 5. They had a mama cat who gave birth to some baby kittens. And the older brother, who was 8, went to his younger brother, who was 5, and said, we need to baptize these baby kittens. He was concerned about their salvation. So they went out in the backyard and they filled up their wading pool full of water. And then they started getting those little baby kittens and they started dunking those baby kittens down in that wading pool, baptizing them as they went. Everything went fine until they came to the mama cat. That mama cat didn't want to have anything to do with any of this baptizing business, salvation or no salvation. But that 8-year-old boy was determined. He was determined because he was concerned about that mama cat's salvation. Her salvation was at stake. And so he did everything he could to get that mama cat underneath that water. And I'm going to tell you, she fought him. She scratched him and clawed him and kicked him, but he didn't give up. He just kept at it. And she kept on a kicking and a scratching and clawing. Finally, she had scratched him from Genesis to Revelation. Do you know what I'm talking about? And he finally had enough. That's when he turned to his younger brother and said, let's just sprinkle her and let her go to hell. Now let's get serious. Is that the way God works? I mean, let's get serious. Is that the way God works? Does God work that way? Does the amount of water strike at the root of what baptism is all about? When I was in graduate school in divinity school, my favorite professor was Dr. Herman Norton, who was also a retired general, General Herman Norton. In his younger days, he had been a chaplain. And one day in class, he was the teacher, professor of the history of American religion. And he told us a story out of his own life. The enemy fire, he said, was heavy that day. And this young soldier, he was just a boy, really. He got hit. And Dr. Norton, as a chaplain, went to him, got to him. And when he got to him, he could tell that this young soldier's wound was indeed severe, so severe that he wasn't going to make it. And the young soldier knew he was not going to make it. He knew he was not going to make it. You know, I've oftentimes wondered what that's like. What's it like to know you're not going to make it? And that young soldier turned to Chaplain Norton, and this is what he said. He said, Rev, I've never been baptized. Would you baptize me? He said, sure. He reached down for his canteen, and that's when he discovered he didn't have any water. There was no way he could get to water. The enemy fire was so heavy, there was no way he could get to water. And even if he could, there wasn't enough time. You know what Dr. Norton did, this young chaplain? He reached down and he took a handful of sand and dirt. That's what he did. He just reached down and took a handful of sand and dirt. And he took that sand and dirt and placed it on top of that young soldier's head. And he called him by name. And he said, I baptize you in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Now tell me something. Was that young soldier baptized? Do you think for a minute that Jesus is sitting up in heaven saying, poof, not enough water? Well, of course not. That young boy was baptized just as sure as you and me, wasn't he? What strikes at the root? Is it the water? Is that what's the most important? Listen, both of those images, the image of immersion and the image of sprinkling and pouring, those are all powerful images of baptism. Those of you who are immersed, that's a powerful image to be immersed, to go under that water. It's the symbolism of dying to an old way of life to be raised to a new way of life. But the image of sprinkling is also an incredibly powerful image. It's the image and the symbolism of being washed clean. That's what sprinkling is. It's being washed clean. It's being washed of the whole way of life to take on this new way of life in Jesus the Christ. So our question this morning is, what's the big deal about that? What's the big deal about that? What's really important about baptism? Is it the water? Of course it's not the water. That's not what strikes at the root. What strikes at the root of baptism? What is our baptism all about? Well, first of all, our baptism reminds us of who we are. Kristlyn said that so beautifully in her prayer this morning. Our baptism reminds us who we are. You remember our scripture lesson this morning? Jesus went to the River Jordan to be baptized by John. And after he was baptized, you remember what happened? He heard a voice from heaven. You remember what that voice said? "This is my son with whom I am well pleased." You know what I believe? At every baptism, that's what God says. At every baptism, God says, "This is my child. This is my son. This is my daughter. I'm pleased with you." God claims us. At our baptism, we are reminded that God claims us. God lays his hands on us. And God calls us his very own. Baptism reminds us of who we are. It's first and foremost a sign of God's grace. There are two actors in baptism. There's God and there's the one receiving the baptism. What we believe in the Methodist tradition is that God's act is what's most important. It's first and foremost. What we do is important. We're going to talk about that in just a minute. But what God does is most important. It's a sign of God's love. It's a sign of God's grace. And that's what I love so much about our practice of infant baptism, because we see grace. And infant baptism hangs up a lot of people. A lot of people get hung up on infant baptism. You know what they say? They want to know how it is. And I've been asked this many times. How can you Methodists baptize these little babies when it's obvious they don't have a clue what they're doing? They don't know what they're doing. They don't know what's happening. They can't answer any questions. That's just a farce, they say. How in the world can you baptize those little babies? And we say, you're exactly right. They don't have a clue what they're doing. That's why we do it. What? We do it because it's a sign of grace. It's a sign of grace. It's a sign of what God does. Thank God you and I worship a God who doesn't wait for us to know enough or to understand enough. God doesn't wait. He didn't wait for us to learn enough, to know enough, to understand enough. He doesn't wait for us to do enough. He doesn't wait for us to get our act together. Isn't it great that you and I worship a God who doesn't wait for us to get our act together? Do you know how long God would be waiting on some of us to get our act together? God doesn't wait for us to get our act together. God doesn't wait for us to know enough, to do enough. And furthermore, God doesn't wait for us to believe enough. God loves us from the moment we enter this earth. Do you believe that? From the moment we enter this earth, God loves us. Baptism is a sign of that. Baptism reminds us of that. We are loved and claimed by this Almighty God through His Son, Jesus Christ. That's why I love infant baptism so much. Because we're reminded of who we are. Listen, what difference does that make? What difference does all of that make, that we're reminded of who we are, that we're loved and claimed by God, that God loves us, and that God doesn't stop loving us? He doesn't stop when we foul it up. And furthermore, not only does God not stop loving us, God doesn't forget. That's another thing that I'm asked oftentimes as a Methodist pastor. I'm asked this by a lot of Methodist people. Pastor, I was christened as a baby. I want to be baptized as an adult. I'm asked that all the time. I was sprinkled as a baby. I want to be baptized as an adult. No, see, we don't do that. And you want to know why? We might forget, but God doesn't. God doesn't forget what God has done. When we have a Sunday like this, remember your baptism, we're not talking about necessarily remembering the day. We're talking about remembering what God has done on our behalf. That God's laid His claim on our behalf when we didn't even know it, when we didn't understand it. We might not even remember that moment. What What difference does all of that make? As we begin a new year of life 2018, I believe that it makes all the difference in the world. There's not a person here this morning that knows what this next year is going to bring. I hope this next year is the best ever for you. But mark my words, when we come to this date next year, there's going to be some of us that are going to look back, and there are going to be times through this year that life has kicked us in the teeth. And that's when it's important for us to remember that we worship a God who has claimed us, who loves us, who has promised His presence, and will not stop. He will not stop, and He has not forgotten and will not forget. Here's another reason it's so important. I got a feeling some of you are like me. When I go home at the end of the day, so oftentimes, I wish I wasn't like this, but I am. So oftentimes at the end of the day, when I go home, my identity, my self-image is all wrapped up in the messages that I've received from other people during that day. Can you relate to that? My self-image gets wrapped up in what other people think about me or say about me. If it's good, I feel good. If it's bad, I feel bad. You know what baptism reminds us of? Baptism says to us that the one we say matters the most loves us the most. Let me say that again. Baptism reminds us that the one we say matters the most loves us the most. You know what happens? What happens is oftentimes the one we say matters the most really doesn't matter the most. It's those people out there that matter the most. But the one that matters the most loves us the most, and that makes all the difference in the world. Baptism reminds us who we are. Who we are. I'm a big John Steinbeck fan. I've read just about everything that he's written. One of his favorites is one called Sweet Thursday. You might not be familiar with Sweet Thursday. I love Grapes of Wrath. I love Cannery Row. Love all those. But Sweet Thursday, I think, is maybe my favorite. It's a kind of a sequel to Cannery Row, if you ever read Cannery Row. But in Sweet Thursday, there's a character named Susie. And Susie works at a house of ill repute. Have you ever heard a preacher use a woman who worked at a house of ill repute as a sermon illustration? Aren't you glad you came today? Susie works at a house of ill repute. You know why? Because Susie's been beaten up and pushed down her whole life, and she doesn't feel like she's good enough to be anything else. There's another character in the book. The name is Doc. Doc works as a biologist in the community. Doc's highly thought of in that community. And Doc one day asks Susie, the woman who worked at the house of ill repute, to go out on a date. And Susie's all torn up about that because she likes Doc, but she feels like she's not good enough. And because she feels like she's not good enough, and because she feels like she's not worthy, she's scared. So you know who Susie goes to? She goes to Fauna. Fauna is the madam of the house. And Susie tells Fauna, she said, Doc's asked me out. She doesn't feel good enough. She said, she's not worthy. She's not worthy to be with Doc. And she's scared. She says, Fauna, if he starts talking about stuff that I don't understand, I'm going to get mad and I'm scared. So she told Fauna, she said, I want you to tell him that I'm sick and I can't go. Fauna said, why should I do that? She said, because I'm scared. She said, of course you're scared. Fauna said, of course you're scared. She said, you want to know why you're scared? She says, because you care about him. And then Fauna said this, and I love it, and I quote. Fauna said, there ain't no dame alive. I know that's not politically correct, but that's what she said in Sweet Thursday. She said, there ain't a dame alive that ever went out with a guy first time that wasn't scared. She said, and what about Doc? You think maybe Doc might be scared too? What do you think about that? Well, Susie started listening. And Fauna started talking. And Fauna said, you know what, Susie? If I had your age, and if I had your face, and if I had your shape, all coupled with what I know, there ain't a man alive that could get away. Isn't that great? Ain't a man alive. So she said, I'm going to tell you about a few thousand things, and I need you to listen. And she started talking to her about what she needed to do. That when you're with somebody else, you listen to them, and you get interested in what they're doing, and you ask questions about them, and so on and so forth. And Susie was listening to all this stuff. And then Fauna said this, but the most important thing, this is what she said, the most important thing is you've got to remember that you're Susie and you ain't nobody else but Susie. And you got to remember that Susie is a good thing, a real valuable thing, and there ain't nothing like it in the whole world. And then she turned to Susie and she said, I'm proud of you. And that got all over Susie because she hadn't ever had anybody tell her that she was, that they were proud of her. And so she thanked Fauna and she said, is there anything I can do? She said, is there anything I can do for you? And Fauna said, yes, there is. She said, I want you to repeat after me. I'm Susie and nobody else. And Susie said, I'm Susie and nobody else. She said, now I want you to say, I'm a good thing. She said, I'm a good thing. And then she said, I want you to say, there ain't nothing like me in the whole world. And Susie said, there ain't nothing. Doggone it, Fauna, now my eyes will be red. And Fauna said, well, they look pretty that way. And this is what happened next. At 7 o'clock, Doc, dressed in an open-collared shirt, leather jacket, and army pants. An open-collared shirt, a leather jacket, and army pants. Rang the bell at the Bear Flag. Susie answered the door, standing there in that porch light, just as pretty as you could, pretty as could be. And he looked at Susie and he said, this is what Doc said when he saw her. Doc said, I got to go make a telephone call. And he left. He just turned around and left. Went back to the laboratory. Can you imagine? 10 minutes later, he returned. Doc had on clean slacks, not army pants. He had on clean slacks. He had on a tweed jacket. And he had on a tie that he hadn't worn or used in years. Fauna looked at Susie and said, honey, you win the first round on points. Isn't that great? Listen to that again. I'm Susie and nobody else. I'm Susie and nobody else. It's important sometimes to be reminded of that, isn't it? You ever feel like you got to be somebody else? You know who I am? I'm Cliff and nobody else. I can't be Bishop McAlealy. I can't be Reverend O'Bannon. I can't be Reverend Mayo. I can't do it. You know who I can be? I'm Cliff and nobody else. You know why? Because I'm Cliff and nobody else. I'm a good thing, she said, and there ain't nothing like me in the whole world. You know what that is? That's baptism. That's what that is. Because baptism reminds us of who we are. Do you know who you are? You are loved and claimed by God. Would you repeat those words after me this morning? Now, I don't want you to say I'm Susie because you're not Susie. See, only Susie can say that. When we get to that part, I want you to say your name. I'm going to say I'm, and you say, we're all going to say our name, and then I want you to repeat after me. Can you do that? Ready? I'm Cliff. Say that again. I'm and nobody else. I'm a good thing. We say that better than that. Because you're a good thing. You know how good? Do you know how good you are? You are so good that Jesus died for you. Jesus died for you. That's how good you are. That's good enough. I'm a good thing. There ain't nothing like me in the whole world. Come on, say it again. There ain't nothing like me in the whole world. I'm a child of God. You bet you are. You're a child of God. God loves me more than anybody could ever imagine. And God doesn't wait. And God doesn't forget. Listen, that's baptism. That's baptism. That's what's important about baptism. Is it the amount of water? No, it's not the amount of water. No, it reminds us who we are. We are sons and daughters of Jesus, and He's laid His claim on us. You know what sometimes people say? I hear this all the time. People say, you know, the day I found Jesus. You ever heard somebody say that? Well, when I found Jesus, I'm happy for them that they found Jesus. But I didn't find Jesus. Jesus tracked my behind down. He tracked my behind down because He wasn't going to give up on me, and He's not going to give up on you. He doesn't quit. He doesn't stop. That's baptism. That's baptism. We're reminded who we are. Here's the other thing. We're reminded to whom we belong. Chrislyn said that. Who we are, to whom we belong. To whom do we belong? We belong to God through Jesus Christ, and He's not turning loose. He is not turning loose. Now, a moment ago, you remember I said God was the primary actor in baptism. It's first and foremost a sign of God's grace, what God does. Then there's our profession of faith. That's the other part. That's when we accept God's acceptance. That's when we say yes back to God's yes. God says yes to us. We come to that place where we say yes back to God's yes. Now, that can happen at baptism if you were baptized like I was at 14. But if you were baptized like my children were, it happens years later. Because it's not what's most important. It's important. What God says is most important. Then we say yes back to God's yes. That's our profession of faith. That's when we're saying that Jesus is the Lord of our life. What does that mean? It means He's the most important thing in our life. And what does that mean? That means nothing else is. Are you with me? If Jesus is Lord, it means He's the most important. If He's the most important, that means nothing else most important. Jesus. What does that mean? It means I'm going to follow Him. What does that mean? Well, it means I got to know the way that He's calling me to follow. How do we know that? Well, the only way I know to know it is to get into this. And that's why Bible study is so important. We're learning the message so that we can live the message. And when we do, that's how we find the life that we want. That's what Living a Better Story is all about. We start that next week. Live a better story. A story where there's more fulfillment, more joy in our life. That's what I want for 2018. How do we get that? Get that by, first of all, remembering our baptism, who we are, to whom we belong, so that Jesus is the Lord of my life, nothing else is, and I'm going to follow Him. That's what I want for each and every one of us this new year, so that we can have life the way God wants us to have life. Let me close with this. A few years ago, our telephone rang at 4:30 in the morning. Now, the only day of the week that I get up at 4:30 is on Sunday. Now, the rest of the week, I get up early, but I don't get up at 4:30. So the phone rang, and it kind of shook me, and it also scared me, because when the phone rings that early in our house, it usually means something's wrong. And I was afraid that there was something wrong with somebody in the church. So I picked up the phone, shook out the cobwebs, picked up the phone, and the person on the other end of the line said that they wanted to speak to Adam. Could I speak to Adam? Well, now they got my attention. Because some of you know that our son, our oldest child, is named Adam. And I said, well, Adam doesn't live here. Because he didn't. At that time, Adam was doing his medical residency at Mayo Clinic in Rochester, Minnesota. I didn't get into all of that. I just said, Adam doesn't live here. And I could tell they were disappointed. And in fact, there was a sense of urgency in their voice. And they said, I really need to speak to Adam. I really need to speak to him. And then they went on to say that they had gone online. I didn't know you could do this. Did you know you could do this? They went online and put in his name. And it said that he lived in Memphis. Now, they really got my attention, because Adam was in medical school in Memphis before he went to Rochester. That he lived in Memphis, but this was his number. And I said, well, what is Adam's last name? And they said, well, it's Wright, W-R-I-G-H-T. Well, now I'm really concerned. Adam Wright lived in Memphis. They got the number. I said, well, what did you want to tell him? She said, I needed to tell him that his father has died. Well, man, I started looking around. I almost called out, St. Peter? St. Peter? Then I looked up because I wanted to know where I was. Am I up here or was I down here? And I said, well ma'am, I'm Adam's dad. And she said, oh, well, I guess I've got the wrong number. I thought, you think maybe you got the wrong number. When Amy got up, I told her what was going on. And she said, yeah, you can do that. You can find somebody's number and you can. I could tell this woman was terribly upset. I asked her, I said, well, what was Adam's dad's name? And she said, Jack. I kind of felt a little bit better, not for Jack, but for me. And Amy told me, she said, you know, maybe you ought to message Adam and tell him what happened. So I sent my son a message. At 4:30 this morning, I said, I got a call from a lady that wanted to speak to an Adam Wright, informing him that his father had died. I just want you to know, and this is what I said, I don't remember it exactly. I just want you to know that I'm still alive and kicking. That's what I said. I'm still alive and kicking. I got to thinking about that. Alive and kicking. What does that mean? What does it mean to be alive? What does that mean? I mean, I'm sucking in air. Is that what being alive is? You're sucking in air. Is that being alive? Or is there more to it? You know what I know? I know you know this too. Being alive is more than sucking in air, isn't it? You know what I want for 2018? You know what I want for me? You know what I want for you? I want us to be alive. That's what I want. I want this church to be alive. I want each one of you to be alive. I want every day to count. I want every day to count. You know why? Because there's no promise of tomorrow. No promise of tomorrow. Today. I want today to count. You know what that means? I'm through dealing with stuff that doesn't matter. Will you help me? I'm going to deal with this stuff that doesn't matter. I had a birthday this week. Can you believe that? Do I look older to you? I'm 62 years old. I ain't got time to mess around anymore, folks. For good or bad, you got me at this moment in my life. I don't have time to mess around. I want 2018 to count. I want to be alive every moment. And I want you to help me. And I want this church to be alive. And I want you to be alive. And that's what Living a Better Story is all about. How do we do that? Well, you start right here with remembering our baptism. What does remember our baptism say to us? Remembering our baptism reminds us of who we are. Listen. We're sons and daughters of God. You are a child of God. The one who matters the most loves you the most. That changes everything else in life. And then to remember to whom we belong. We belong to Him. He's the one that we follow. He's the one that we follow. Let me ask you a question. Who or what are you following this morning? Are you following Jesus? Because if we're not, we're standing in the wrong line. That's what's the big deal about baptism.